Now, to offset that wonderful presentation, we have Walt Moore.
Good morning. Long time no see. This is actually my July presentation, which was supposed to be given in September, which is now, I just updated the cover page, you know. So Governor Quinn and I go back to our Hinsdale days, when we grew up together in Hinsdale, and he used to play for Geechee Shoes, and American Legion Baseball, and I played for Mid-America Bank, two fine sponsors no longer in existence, but I think, I still remember he threw a couple of brushback pitches at me back in those days, but financial report, I'll be very quick with this. The first slide up, please. Thank you. Really talk about how we did FY14 for the fiscal year previously ended. We had a good year. The hospital, the medical service plan, and the auxiliaries all had positive outcomes. Our educational and research grants all met budget expectations. The year-end receivable from the prior fiscal year of $181 million, we received that in December. So we basically cleared that up. But we do have a number of things that basically confront us, coming out of 14. We had a $150 million receivable at the end of fiscal year 14. We did receive that in September, by the end of September of this year. So the estate situation, the unpaid bills at the end of June was $4.5 billion that has crept up, since June 30th. So it continues to be a concern, the payment cycle, for the state. Of course, the state budget, the pension, and benefit issues are continue to be a concern to us, and how those are going to be resolved. And again, we took a hit in our state in our rating back in last fall on the heels of the state taking a downgrade in their ratings. But it continues to be a concern. Quickly, the ratings itself. The University of Illinois on the left side there. That we are rated a AA3. We came down one notch last fall. The state rating, the state of Illinois, is an A3 rating. So we are four notches higher than the state rating. You can see some of the others that we have here. Indiana and Iowa are both AAA states. They're on both sides of us, so we're sandwiched between two AAA states, and their universities reflect those essentially those AAA state ratings. We're basically in parity with Rutgers as far as their rating, even though New Jersey's state credit rating is an A1, so three notches higher than the state of Illinois. So, this is essentially been updated. I think since the last time you saw this, I think there's been a couple changes in state ratings, but that's where we stand as far as the ratings. As far as the state appropriation, as of today, this is the snapshot. As of this week, the state owes us $304 million as of today on the appropriation. Again, all of last year's state appropriation, the receivable had been paid. We've billed a little over half of the appropriation already to the state. We have received $62 million so far, so against this in this year. If you look at this, you can see that we're pretty much running essentially the same as we did last year as far as the ratings. We visited with the state controller's office a couple of weeks ago. They were going to try to stay on the same payment schedule for us. However, of course, the current concern is what's going to happen with the income tax extension. And then looking back over the last several years, this is a by month end where we stood as far as our receivable and the percentage of the receivable versus the total appropriation that was outstanding. You can see pretty much a comparable situation for the last 2 years. We're not recurring what we had in FY13 when the receivable got to over $500 million. So receivable at the end of 13 was $181 million. The end of 14 was $150 million. Go on to payments on behalf. This is the actual numbers on payments on behalf. Again, payments on behalf, this is the payments for the employer share of pension and for health care benefits. You can see actually there was a reduction in the amount of payments on behalf in FY14. That's really, you can see in the blue, that's the health care benefits, and really what that's a result of the employees having to pick up substantially more in their health care contribution to their costs, and reducing the state piece that came in. Again, our biggest pieces again are the pension, $431 million of pension, which is the amortization of the unfunded liability. The new numbers came out for the SERS. So at the end of June of 14, the unfunded liability just for SERS was over $20 billion was the unfunded liability. And for all the big three, all the state pension plans, the new numbers came out, and it went from $96 billion underfunded to $104 billion underfunded, and that's even after a good investment year. So you're not going to be able to invest your way out of the situation. The other part of this is the normal cost, $213 million. This probably represents about 12% of payroll for the University of Illinois. The employees are contributing 8%, and about 20% of payroll represents the normal cost. So, and this is the thing that basically we have a concern about, that we're going to be picking up in future years some percentage of that, of those dollars. For every 1% of that normal cost for the University of Illinois, it's worth $19 million to us. So that's a cost shift concern that we have going forward. Very quickly, tuition pretty much came in right on budget, right on expectations, and essentially fully collected for 2014. Pretty much the picture says it all. So tuition came in as expected, including MAP. The hospital had a $12 million operating margin for 2014. Again, the Moody's and Standard & Poor's both affirmed the ratings on the hospital. The hospital, Moody's has it at an A2, and Standard & Poor's has it as an A-rated hospital. Again, the thing that I think we're most concerned about is basically going forward, when they did those ratings, they're very concerned about the forecasts and the Medicaid reimbursements for the hospital. They're also showing great concern for the amount of cash that we have at the hospital. It's very thin. The competition that we face is also a concern. And also, frankly, our adjustments to the Affordable Care Act as we go from managed care from fee-for-service to managed care. So those are all some of the things that we are concerned about going forward with the hospital. The MSP, the next slide. Medical Service Plan had a $16 million positive operation for 14. Last year there was an $11 million, if you will, loss in the MSP, but what happened there in 13 was there was a substantial investment in the Miles Square. Almost $20 million was put in there in Miles Square, which was really not part of that budgetary consideration. So that's why we had that situation last year. So the MSP had a decent year and had pickups in their patient volumes pretty much across the board. The auxiliaries, we are really restricted by the legislative audit guidelines to run very strict. We can't run big profits in our auxiliaries. Again, this would be parking, housing, room and board type of things, recreation, $10 million on the plus side for auxiliaries. But again, we normally would not have major profits, if you will. We would not have profits in our auxiliary operations. Moving on to the next slide, my internal auditors ask me every year to show you this. Is basically one of our biggest non-personnel expenditure is basically our cost of our utilities. Again, we basically were well within budget, but basically much higher. You can see $102 million versus $94 million last year in actual costs, particularly driven by the fact that we had that extremely cold winter last year that basically drove up those costs. So that's the reason for that increase over 13's costs. Grants and contracts, you can see that we had a reduction in grants and contract expenditures in 14. Really, that's really driven in the blue. Those are the NSF awards or NSF. And the reason that is the supercomputer had about $114 million of grant dollars came in 13, and in 14, just for that, it was probably about $13 million for the supercomputer. So that's what inflated that number in 13. And of course, we are running at the end of the era, so that's behind us. And of course, the great concern going forward is basically where are research grants going to be with the new Congress, and basically concerns with regard to sequestration and just the squeeze on the federal budget going forward. Going on to the foundation and the support for the university and gifts, the distributions to the university, a total of about $175 million in FY14. You can see it's substantially higher than in 13. This is really driven by, particularly for the, mentioned earlier, the ECE building in Urbana, basically a big Granger gift of $30 million, basically inflates that number in 14. So about $40 million of this number is coming from the foundation spending that comes to the university. The rest is essentially the pass-through of gifts to the university, including that big Granger gift. We look at the performance of our endowment, the part that we managed. The total at the June 30th, the total amount of our endowment, the combination of the university managed endowment and the foundation managed endowment, is $2.3 billion at June 30th of 2014. Taking a look just at what we manage about $716 million, the pie chart over there on the left. The biggest pieces, of course, are the about $590 million that is invested. It's basically the pool, the investment pool. The rest of it is farms. It's about $75 million in farms. And there's other beneficial interests and trusts where an outside third party holds monies to the university's benefit. We had good growth on the next page. We have always basically been the 1, 3, and 5 year. We have been in the top tier, quartile as far as performance, as far as what the university manages. The performance for 1 year performance for 2014 was 15.7%. Again, that will put us in the, and you can see the growth of the pool is it through the last several periods reported. Again, this puts us in normally in the top decile, actually, as far as performance, which basically puts us, particularly among our Big Ten peers, right at the top as far as performance, and kudos to the investment guys that basically take care of this. I'm going to close on some administrative costs, just really what it looks like as far as when you looked at the budget that we passed at September. If you take a look at the administrative costs, you can see the growth of the three campuses over from the last 10 years. And university administration, you can see that actually there's been a reduction in the amount of budget for the university administration of 4.5% over that 10-year period. This is a thing that has been updated for another year since the last time I showed it to you. Relatively unchanged, this is essentially institutional support as a percent of total expenditures for the universities. Institutional support is a NCUBO, which is the guiding principles of reporting for universities and colleges, but institutional support essentially equates to administrative costs. So this is the administrative cost to total expenditures for a university. Now you can see that the U of I, if you look to the right, we're at about 5% of total costs for administration. And to the right is Indiana, Michigan, and Iowa is lower amounts. And one of the things that basically plays here is basically Michigan, you say, whoa, wow, that's low. But this basically has the medical centers in the calculation. So basically the medical centers will drop those administrative costs. So if you take the medical centers out of, in the next slide, you can see that we move down to, we moved to 6%, we moved to the third lowest in the Big Ten as far as administrative costs at the University of Illinois. And then again, these are FY13, the latest available cumulative numbers that are available to us to take a look at. So in conclusion, looking forward, we have a number of things to be concerned about. Obviously, the FY15 budget, based on what was passed, is frankly was unbalanced. We do have the uncertainty associated with the outcome of the income tax extension. I think that most people, if you read the paper, don't think that they're going to be doing anything in the veto session. So we might be seeing a reduction in the personal income tax rate from 5 to 375, that reduction. I guess that would be good news to university employees, because there might be a few more dollars in their January check, because we don't have to withhold as much state income tax. But we do have that concern for the university. We had $150 million, but as I already said, we did get that paid, you know, already. We had the appropriation was down about $1 million, but with the situation with the income tax, one of two things are going to happen. I think, you know, we're either going to be looking at a cut or rescission to our appropriation, or a severe slowdown in our payments to the university as we go forward. And how that's going to play out, we'll just have to see. No new capital bill for FY15, so this is the fourth year in a row that we have no capital bill for the university. Again, the unfunded pension liability, the whole pension reform is still in the courts. They think that perhaps that the courts may, the Sangamon courts may rule or do push it along by the end of this month. That's the talk. And how soon it gets to the Illinois Supreme Court, should be hopefully shortly thereafter. As I mentioned earlier, we are facing a potential for a cost shift for pension in the size of the dollars I'm talking about. I also think we might be looking at a cost shift for healthcare costs, as I talked about earlier. I think we are continue to deal with the Affordable Care Act and our Medicaid program, new rates associated for Medicaid rates going forward, which are substantially lower than prior years, for our hospitals. So, and lastly, the federal budget. We are facing real live possibilities of sequestration again, and basically a squeeze on our grants going forward. So, and there was an election. So. That would be my quick summation of what's going on.
Well, can you explain what happens if the income tax is not dealt with in the veto session? Oh. And let's say one scenario is it never is returned to its current level. A second scenario is it's returned to the current level, but that action isn't taken till May.
Well, I think that, just for 15, FY15, if they don't extend that, they have the reduction both in the corporate and the individual income tax, it's probably just for that for 15, it would be about a $2 billion loss of revenues to the state. And if you run that all the way down through the pipeline, that would end up being about a 10.6% cut or impact on us, which would be about $70 million would be basically.
About what?
$70 million would be the reduction that we might be facing if that's just the dimensions of the dollars. It's time to
anything
applaud.
Else? Anybody else? No video? Okay. Thank you, Walt.
Just a pantomime.